About saying Talamata tonight?
Tonight?
Saying Talamata tonight? Okay. This coming Motzai Shabbos is a big gala Malava Malka, I think. No? Everyone who is interested in coming is invited to come. Okay. What time is it going to be? 7:40 to 8:00. 8 o'clock. 7:30? Okay, 7:30. Good. Very good. In Parshas Vayishlach, we have the very famous Ramban. The Ramban on the Parsha quotes the Rambam in Mishneh Torah in Hilchas Malachim to explain who gave Shimon v'Levi the right to kill all the people in the city Shechem. So the Rambam explains that there are seven mitzvahs b'nei noach. One of the seven mitzvahs is dinim, and dinim means that they have an obligation to set up a legal system. Have an obligation to set up courts. The Rambam writes that in Eretz Yisrael, the Shoftim Shatit Lacha B'chol Sharecha, Nishmatecha, in Eretz Yisrael, there's an obligation to set up a Bezdin, B'chol Placha Placha B'chol Yer V'Yer. Every region to have a big Bezdin, and every city, every single city to have a Bezdin. And in Chutz Lords, the Jews are only obligated to put up a Bezdin, B'chol Placha Placha, not M'chiv to have B'chol Yer V'Yer. Each and every city. That's a din of Eretz Yisrael should be beautiful. We should be an Or LaGoyim. We should show that all the nations of the world the way you're supposed to have a legal system and a court system, and every city should have. That's an Eretz Yisrael. Chutz La'aretz is just established Bati Dinim to the extent that it's necessary. It's not necessary to have in every single city. So the Bnei Noach have the same obligation that we have in Chutz La'aretz. They only have an obligation to establish Bezno Chol Plach Plach in every big region. You don't need B'chol Yer V'Yer. And then there's also a Rambam says part of the din of dinim is not just you should establish a court system, but all the balabatim have to see to it that if someone does a crime, he should be brought to justice. So all the people knew that Shechem ben Hamor violated dina, and they didn't do anything about it. They didn't punish him, and they didn't insist that the police should arrest him, garnish. So the Rambam says because they all violated this mitzvah of dinim, that's why they're all chaymis. This is a tremendous chiddush that the Gemara says azarasam zui misosam, that by the bnei noach, whenever they violate any one of the seven mitzvahs bnei noach, they deserve the death penalty. Bnei noach has nerag al pochas mishaber pruta. If he steals chaymis on giran, if he eats even achai, it's chaymisa. If he does gezel, it's chaymisa. Yeah, that's if he did an avera. He eats Eid Menachai, it's an avera. Or if he does gezel, that's an avera. But he doesn't do a mitzvah saseh. He doesn't stand up for justice, and he doesn't see to it that Shechem ben Hamor should be punished. I mean, he's mevatel mitzvah saseh. So also that's called azarosam zuim. He saw some. By us, there's a din ein einshim alon kem azhirin. Bezdin can't give an einish aguf of malchus hamis unless the person violated an azhara. So the Gemara says, azhara saseh lapshma azhara. Asar means that you violated a law. So there's room to argue with the Rambam and say, no. If that's pshat and dinim, they have a mitzvah seset to establish bati courts, and they have a mitzvah seset to see that any criminal is brought to court. And if you failed to do a mitzvah saseh, you didn't violate an aver bekumbi asay. You were mavatla mitzvah saseh. So that's a big chiddush that the Rambam holds that there's an einish mitzvah. Rambam writes it explicitly in another place. The Gemara says that Bnei Noach are not mechuyev in Bris Milah. Bris Milah is only for the Jews. The Gemara says that Avraham Avinu was obligated to be mal Bnei Keturim. So there's a machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. What does that mean? So Rashi says Bnei Keturah. Avraham Avinu married Keturah, and then he had children from her. So those were his children. So Avraham Avinu, even though those children were not Jewish, could be Yitzchak Yikor L'Chazera. Only Yitzchak is going to have Kedushas Yisrael and his descendants. And Bnei Keturah were not Jewish, but still they were the children of Avraham Avinu. So just like he was mechuyev to be mal his avadim, so he's mechuyev to be mal his children, even if the children are not Jewish. But after those Bnei Keturah had their own children, they got married. And then generations later, 3,000 through 4,000 years later, he's still mechuyev for the Bnei Keturah to be mal. Doesn't make any sense. That's how Rashi holds. Shachzai has a tshuva. He thinks that we should pass like Rashi. He thinks Rashi is right. He says, the Pella and the Rambam. The Rambam understood that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Bnei Keturah were Chayv and Bila. Not only Avraham Avinu was obligated to be mal those eight children of Keturah, literally the Bnei Keturah. B'nei Keturah throughout all the generations are mechuyev in 8 mitzvahs. Everybody else, every other noch only has 7 mitzvahs b'nei noch, and they have another mitzvah of B'nei Keturah. Who are the B'nei Keturah? So the Rambam says there's a big taruvus, we don't know which goyim are B'nei Keturah, which not. So the Rambam says all the goyim are mechuyev, if there's a possibility. Maybe only the Arabs. Maybe the Indians are not. Maybe the African goyim are not. I don't know. The Rambam says all those goyim who are b'taruvus with the B'nei Keturah, that they may possibly be B'nei Keturah, are all mechuyev to be mal themselves. In other words, you don't go b'sa roiv. The roiv goyim in the world are not descendants from the B'nei Keturah. So the Rambam holds a psachidish. It's a sofik deraisa lechumre midiaraisa. Well, it's a sofik. The Rambam holds sofik deraisa lechumre is only midirabbanan. That's by loisese. That's by Nisa Lav. So the Rambam holds sofik hilchus Shabbos sofik arise. All sofik deraisa lechumre is only midirabbanan. But the Shev Shmaitze with the Nesivas and the Chavos Das and the Beis Al Sofik, they both write the same thing. That the Rambam must certainly agree that a sofik essay deraisa is lechumre midiraisa. Sofik lois essay is mutam and atar only lechumer midirabban. But a sofik essay deraisa, a sofik lav, the Torah said don't eat chazit. This is a sofik if it's chazit. So it's not what the Torah said. So I'm not on violation. I'm not in violation of the Tziva Hashem. This is not varei chazit. But if the Torah said you have to do something, you have to shake a lulav, and you're not sure if this is a kosher lulav, so then you have to go lechumer to make sure that you do it. So the Rambam apparently thinks like that. That sofik deraisa lechumra is deraisa by esin. So that's why it even applies to Bnei Noach. So whichever Bnei Noach has a sofik, maybe he's a ben keturah, maybe not. So he has to be mal himself, even though there's a roiv against it. You don't go bus a roiv. That's what would appear from the Rambam. You don't go bus a roiv. But the Rambam says if any given nochri will not be mal himself, he won't deserve a death penalty because only me sofik. Why only me sofik? And if it would have been a badai Bnei keturah, and he fails to fulfill the mitzvahs asay. So the Rambam is Lushitos is saying the same thing. Azarasim Zoy Misosim, when the Bnei Noach violate any one of their mitzvahs, Bnei Noach, even if the thing they're violating is not a loisesi, they're not violating, they're not committing an aveira, it's by omission. They're failing to fulfill a mitzvah asay of Milah, like over there, they fail to fulfill the mitzvah asay of Dinim, to take the criminal and bring him to justice. So the Rambam says beferish that the chayv misana. So that's what the Ramban disagrees. He said he doesn't think that that's correct. And the Ramban thinks that why did Shimon Velevi have their, why do they think they had a right to kill these people? He said, what are you talking about? These people used to worship Abed Azara, Gilei Arai, Sheikh Hasdamim, they were all a Bali Aver. It was a W Yodua that they were all Bali Aver. It had nothing to do with the Dinim over him. Then the Ramban happens to throw in another line here. And he says, what does Dina mean? He says, Dina means they have to observe all the Choftal Arabis Nezikin. This is the Ramban at the Ramo, who wrote the Tshuva about it. Ramo had a cousin. Ramo lived in Poland, in Krakow. He was an Ashkenazi. And he had a cousin who was also an Ashkenazi. But the cousin was a rabbi by the Sfaradim. The cousin was the Maharam Padua. He's a rabbi in Italy by the Sfaradim. So the cousin, Maharam Padua, went Peshutvitz with the Nochri, and they reprinted the Rambam. There was no copyright on the Rambam. So he reprinted the Rambam with the Hagos on the bottom of the page. You have the Kesem Mishnah, Lechem Mishnah, Mishlam Melech, Magen Mishnah, and so on. You have all these things. Then there's one line, not every page has it, a lot of pages don't have. There's one line on the bottom of the page where it says, Smag Esen Kuf Pei Gimel. They have some of the pages have such a line, some of the pages don't have, most of the pages don't have. That's the Hagos of the Maram Padova. Once every 5 pages, you have a Hagos on the bottom of the page. It gives you a mocker in the tour, it tells you in Tfus Venezia, it says a little differently. So after the Maram Padova printed his Rambam, another Goyish firm reprinted the Rambam, didn't have the Hagos of the Maram Padova. Reprinted the Rambam, he was selling it for less than the Maram Padua was selling his Rambam. So the Maram Padua asked the Ramoa if he would give him a letter, Haskama, that no one should buy the other Goy's edition until he sells all of his copies. So the Ramoa wrote such a tshuva, and he gives, I think, 6 reasons why no one's allowed to buy the other edition of the Rambam. So one of the reasons is that the other Rambam is a Sefer She'ena Muga. Gemara says in the Ksubis, in the second parak, Al Tashkin Bo Alecha Avla, you're not allowed to keep around the house a Sefer Sheina Muga. It means if you have a Sefer Torah that has a mistake in it, So you're going to think the din is, or so Shulchan Aruch has a mistake, and you think the din is incorrect. Someone's going to be nichshol, they're going to follow what it says over there. So if you have a Rambam that has a misprint in it, you don't have the Haggos of the Maran Padua, that's called the Sefer Shein Emuna. That's a little humorous. These Haggos of Maran Padua hardly say anything. It says, look in a tour, look in a smog. It says, once every 20 pages, it says, Tfus Venetia is a different Gerasa. No, that's called the Sefer Shein Emuna. That's a little funny. He gives, I think, 6-7 reasons why. He gives another reason that the Pasuk says, the Gemara says in the end of Perak HaZov, Kisim Karamim Kalamisecha Konami Anamisecha. The Gemara reads it, Kisim Karamimka, if you're selling something, you should, and you have a choice, either selling to a Jew or sell to a non-Jew, Islamisecha. Okono, you go shopping, you want to buy something, you can either buy from a Jew or buy from a non-Jew. Okono should be Miyara Misecha. You should always prefer to do business with a Jew, sell to a Jew, buy from a Jew. So the Gemara says over there, even if by buying from a Jew, it'll cost you a little extra. If it's more than you're not mechuyev to, but even if it costs a little extra, so that's what the pasuk tells you, you should do that. So even though the Maran Padua's Rambam is more expensive than the other guy's Rambam, you should spend a little more money to give the business to the Jew as opposed to the non-Jew. It gives a whole bunch of reasons. Then it gives another reason. He quotes this Ramban, that the Ramban writes that included in Dinim is that all of Bnei Noach have to observe all of the Choftal Rabbis Nezik. That's our brisa in the beginning of Bava Kamma. The opening Mishnah says Arba Avos Nezikin. Then there's one brisa that says Yud Gimel Avos Nezikin. Then there's a brisa that says Chav Dalar Avos Nezikin. So the Ramban says he thinks that the goy ma mechuyev to observe all the Chav Dalar Avos Nezikin. It can't be dafke. It's a bit, little bit built in meduyek what the Ramban wrote, because the Gemara says amongst the Chav Dalar Avos Nezikin is Kef Dalar Behe Oynes Mefatim Oitzi Shemra. That's all knas, and there's a Beferishi Gemara in Sanhedrin in the Sugya Bnei Noach, but the Gemara says when the Jews came to Mara, Shom Sam Lachok Hamishpat V'Sham Niso. So Chok Hamishpat means they were given dinim. So the Gemara says dinim. They had dinim. Bnei Noach have dinim. That's from way back from the days of other Marishan. You have dinim. So what was this chadash now that we're given dinim in Mara on the way to Maimon HaSinai? The Gemara says, oh, they were given dinim knasim. That Bnei Noach don't have any halach of knas. They only have chiyuv mamon, and by Yisrael there's even a din of knas. So the Ramban writes that the Nochrim have to absorb all the chavdalos and zikin. It's clearly inaccurate. It can't be all the chavdalos, because the Gemara points out several of the chavdalos and zikin are nisim mefatim or tishemra and kefil dalavehei. So that does not apply to goyim. That's beferish not correct. But the Ramban thinks that the Ramo accepts this halacha. Ramban thinks that the Bnei Noach have to follow everything that it says in Chosh Mishma, leaving out the Knas. Okay, they have to observe everything that it says in Chosh Mishma. So then the Rambo goes ahead and he says that the Gemara in second parak Bava Basra has a din that if a Talmid Chacham, you have two merchants that come to town and they're both selling toothpaste, or they're both selling women's cosmetics, or they're both selling Tupperware, whatever. And one is a Talmid Chacham and one is a Balabas. So the Gemara says, Naktina le shuka. You have to let the Talmid Chacham sell all of his merchandise first, in order that if he's going to waste all day and all night selling merchandise with competition, then he won't be able to learn. So first you let the Talmid Chacham sell as much as he wants to, and in his spare time he's going to learn. Then afterwards you let the Balabas sell what he wants. So this din happens to be quoted in Choshe Mishpa. So the Ramo says, even though the din basically is that we should all support Talmid Chachamim and see to it that they should learn, one could argue the point and say that an Ochri is not mechuyev to see that Talmid Chacham should learn more Torah. That's not from their mitzvahs, to see to it that Jews are learning Torah. But he says it doesn't matter, because that din is quoted in Chosh Mishpat. Should have been quoted in Yeridei, in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Should have said over there, you should be mechabed Talmid Chachamim, you should encourage them that they should learn more, Naktina Leishuka, you should let him sell all of his wares first. So the Ramo says, but since it was quoted in Chosh Mishpat, it's like an accident. Since a mistake was made in the Torah, the Mechaba quoted in the Chosh Mishpat, so the Bnei Noach have to observe that din. It's very strange, very strange. All the reasons, all right, the Chesim Kamad Lamisecha, that I understand. But some of the other reasons are very strange. And the Ramo thinks that the Nochrim kin make up their own legal system. We usually assume that the Dina means the Goyim have an obligation to have a code of law. Doesn't that necessarily be the Chosh Mishpat? We always assume that Bnei Noach make up their own system of law. The Gemara has in the end of Bava Kamma that if you have a Jew and a Nochri come for a Din Torah, by Bezin Shal Yisrael. So imat yochel lezakoso, if the Jew will win in the court case, if we'll employ Choshem Mishpat, so then you should pass him based on Choshem Mishpat. If the Jew will win in court, if you use secular law, then you should use secular law. So the Rambam points out, it's Kemat Mefurish in the Gemara, but the Rambam explains it out, Mamish Mefurish. The Rambam says, is that fair? What kind of shtick is this? The Rambam says, no, the Gemara is talking about a goy, Oibed Abed Azora, a gangster goy, and we're gunning out to get him. So whichever legal system will be in favor of the Jew, we should follow. But if he's a nice guy, he doesn't bother anybody, doesn't worship Abed Azora, we're not interested in penalizing him. Then he says, the Halacha says, you follow Goyish law. Whenever at least one of the two parties is a non-Jew, then you follow secular law. You don't follow Jewish law. Whenever all the parties involved are Jewish, then the Halacha says you follow Choshem Mishpat. So what are you going to say? According to the Ramban, there's no such thing as secular law. No such thing as Deed in the Machusa. Everything's the same thing. Everything is Choshem Mishpat. All the Shachs, the Goyim have to learn all the Shachs and Choshem Mishpat and all the Ksaisen, all the Nesivas. If they want to Mistama, they're allowed to. The Gemara says, Anochri is allowed to learn Torah, but Sheva Mitzvahs did too. They are allowed to. If they want to know what is our legal system, they want to introduce our legal system into their courts, isn't it? But to say they're not allowed to have their own legal system, can't make up their own system, why not? That's a very, very questionable Ramah. Anyway, this is the famous Ramban on this week's Sedra. On this week's Sedra is where the Ramban takes issue with the Rambam. But the Rambam wrote that the reason why Shimon and Levi killed all of Bnei Shechem is because they were mevatel mitzvah of dinim. Dinim means you have to see to it that you have a court system and then you bring the criminals to justice. And if you don't bring them to justice, you're mevatel mitzvah sesi of dinim, and they deserve, as Rosham Zuim Misosan, they deserve the death penalty for that also. And the Ramban holds that you only say as Rosham Zuim Misosan on Averis, not on Bitla mitzvah sesi. Pashtus is like the Ramban.
I remember David Miller, when he was here last year, said that his first time was where he was teaching in Eretz Yisrael, and he had a class full of goyim in one of the schools he was teaching in. So he said he can't teach them Torah. So he only taught them Sanhedrin, Dinei Shoah Nisob Ben Enoah, for a whole year. So the Tiva Rebbe is saying, could one just teach them the Zikin in general?
Yeah, the Gemara says Sheva Mitzvah is the Torah. That's what some people say jokingly, that the meaning in the Lithuanian yeshiva is to concentrate on Noshim and Azikin as a carryover from the yeshivas of Shem Yever. That's all they were allowed to learn, is Noshim and Azikin. That's Sheva Mitzvahs, the two. Can't learn Zroim, you can't learn Kochim, Taris, Moyed. But Noshim and Azikin, that's Sheva Mitzvahs, the two. A little bit in Chulin, Berev Menachai. But everything else, they're not allowed to learn. Yeah. The Gemara has a whole sugya about gaiva, how terrible it is, and soita, how terrible it is to have gaiva. Then the Gemara has a machlokes amaroim. What about a talmid chacham? Maybe a rav in the city has to have a little, has to be a little spunky. He's going to be too meek, then everybody's going to trample on him. So where's going to be kavod haTorah? So one of the some of the amaroim hold that a talmid chacham has to have a little bit of gaiva, and then the maskanas of Gemara is not so. Lo minov lo miktzos. You shouldn't have. Even a Rav who has to be manning a kehila, more correct, and shouldn't have any gaiva. But there was one suggestion in the Gemara, you should have shminish ebishminish. You should have a little bit of gaiva. What's the lotion shminish ebishminish? So usually people say, at eighth of an eighth is a 64th, so it means it's a mashu of gaiva that's batal b'shishim. Tam chacham should have a little gaiva that should be, should make sure that it's batal b'shishim. They quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that shminish ebishminish refers to the eighth pasuk in the 8th Sedra, that Vayishlach is the 8th Sedra, and it starts from Pasuk Dalet in the chapter, so the 8th Pasuk is in Pasuk Yud Aleph, because the first three Psukim belong to the end of Vayetze, and the 8th Pasuk is the Tefillah that Yaakov Avinu offers to HaKadosh Baruch. He says, Kontointi mikol ha-chasadim mikol ha-emes. I don't deserve what you gave me. So that's the Shminish HaBishminis. Not that it means that Talmid Chacham should have a little gaiva. No, Talmid Chacham should say like Yaakov Avinu, Katonti mikol ha-chasadim. I don't deserve whatever I have, I don't deserve. Talmid Chachamim have to be humble. Yeah. There's a famous passage in the Tosfos Yontif on Mishnayos Demai, where he says that a Christian approached him and he asked him, how do you Jews keep on praying every Shabbos and Yontif? Yirotzen Shibbutim Beis HaMikdosh. and we're going to bring the karbonas, the tmidim and the masafim, the Navi, Chagai, encourage Bnei Yisrael they should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash after the 7 years of Golus Bavel. Eretzabo, this is my desire, v'hikovda, I will be honored. And then he said, and even though the second Beis HaMikdash is missing so many things, how does it compare to the first Beis HaMikdash? Nonetheless, the Navi Chagai says, Godel yakvod habayis hazeh ha'acharein min harishon, the glory of this, the second Beis HaMikdash, which is the last, the Acharon, will far surpass the glory of the first Beis HaMikdash. So if the Navi refers to the second Beis HaMikdash as the Acharon, that's the end of the line, that's the end of the story. So what are we praying for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash? It's against the words of the Navi. So the Tosis Yontif says that it's not correct. That the word, he claims that the word Acharon in Biblical Hebrew doesn't always mean last. The word Rishon doesn't always mean first, and Acharon doesn't always mean last. Sometimes the word Rishon means prior, and Acharon means latter. So he brings as one of his two rayas the pasuk in Vayishlach, that when Yaakov Avinu was preparing l'melchama, so he divided everyone into three machanos. And v'yavayitzo l'machna achas v'hiko, v'yoyah machanisha, ha-machana hanisha lefleikto. And then it says, how did he put? He put the Shvachas Rishona, the Leah v'yoladeho acharonim, the Srachel v'yoladeho acharonim. So Rashi says, how do you mean acharonim? He just said Rachel, Leah v'yoladeho acharonim. So it's acharon acharon chaviv. Acharonim by Rachel was acharon acharon, the very last. But Leah is the second machana, and it says acharonim. So you see that the word acharon in Tanakh, in this instance, doesn't mean the last machana, it means the next machana. So Golia Kvod Abai says Ha'achra means this, the latter, the second Beis HaMikdash, doesn't mean the last. Then he brought another Rai from the Psukim by in the beginning of Chumash Mois, Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to deliver a Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael. So he has to demonstrate that he's a Navi. You have to prove that you can't just come and say I'm a Navi and you should believe me and you should bring a Korban Pesach. How did he demonstrate? So he has to, so the Rambam quotes the Gemara that the Navi has to be establish himself as a Navi by demonstrating also some obsiness, to demonstrate some kind of a ness. So he showed the one ois was that that his hand turned into Neged Saras, then it cleared up again. And then the other ois was that the Mate turned into a Nochesh, then turned back into a Mate. And then it says, "V'mlei amina l'kol ha'os harishon, amina l'kol ha'os acharon." V'mlei amina l'kol ha'os acharon. Then he should show them that the water v'shafachta mimei mehayor v'hoyel adam bayaboshes. Then the water will turn into blood. So why is that called "V'mlei amina l'kol ha'os harishon, amina l'kol ha'os acharon"? That wasn't the ois acharon. There was another ois after that. The water turned into blood. That's also an ois. You see that the word Acharon in Biblical Hebrew doesn't always mean last, it means latter, means the later ois. And the word Rishon also doesn't always mean first. It says, HaRishon lo Adam Tivolet, a pasuk in Eov. Means, were you there before Adam or Rishon was born? Doesn't mean Rishon, were you the first? Were you born before Adam or Rishon was on the scene? That's the famous famous comment of the Tosis Yonta about Mishnayos Demai. Ramat Yisrael Strashon in the beginning of Bava Basra has a comment. The Gemara there on Daf Gimel in Bava Basra talks about that pasuk in Chagai. Gadol yakvod habayis hazeh ha'acharon min harishon. The glory of the second Beis HaMikdash will by far surpass the gedula and the glory of the first Beis HaMikdash. What way did the glory of the second Beis HaMikdash surpass? It didn't. The second Beis HaMikdash was missing so many things, and there was machloikas from the beginning to the end with the apikursim, with the tzedukim. From day number one there were tzedukim and there was tzoros all the way from the beginning to the end. Nothing worked that well in the Bais Sheni. He said, why is it Gadol yakvod habayis hazeh ha'acharon? The Gemara has machlokes Rabbi Shmuel on Daf Gimel and Bava Basra. So one Amara says that it was taller than the Bais Rishon. So taller than the Bais Rishon, so that's outshines the glory of the first Beis HaMikdash. You have some building over there is taller than this building. I think this building is nicer than that building. Just because it's taller means that it's more glorious. And then the other opinion is because the Bais Sheni lasted longer. Bais Sheni lasted, it's true. Bais Sheni, according to the Gemara, it only lasted 10 years longer. Instead of 410 years, it was 420 years. in the history books, it's assumed that Bais Sheni was way more than 10 years longer than the Bais Rishon. Just because it lasted longer, so therefore it outshines the glory of the Bais Rishon. But it was missing so many things and everybody was crying. The old timers who were 80 years old remembered the Bais Rishon. This is Ka'ayin. They were crying when they made the second Bais Hamikdash. So why did that outshine the glory of the first Bais Hamikdash? Matis Yosh Rashon quotes a passage from the Zohar, Anad Gimor, in the end of the Vilna edition of the Shas. So they have not only the Horus from the father, from the Rashash, they have the Horus from the son also, from Matis Yosh Rashon. So he quotes a passage from the Zohar that Habayis Hazeh is a reference to the second Bais Hamikdash, Achrein is a reference to the third Bais Hamikdash. It's like hyphenated. Habayis Hazeh HaAchrein, that the second Bais HaMikdash was considered a haskalah for the third Bais HaMikdash. And that was the Nechama that the Nevi'im were telling them.
How do you read the
passage? Goli Yakvod Habayis Hazeh HaAchrein hyphenated. Habayis Hazeh hyphen HaAchrein, this second, third Bais HaMikdash, because the third is the Hemshech of the second. The second Bais HaMikdash was not a Hemshech of the first. The first Bais HaMikdash was destroyed. The pasuk says, "Oru oru ad ha'isaidbo." Everything was raised down to the ground. Everything was destroyed. But when the second Bais HaMikdash was destroyed, it wasn't totally destroyed. And they were told that the third Bais HaMikdash will be considered a hemshech of the second Bais HaMikdash. In the third perik in Moed Katan, perik Eilam Megalchim, so the Gemara comments there on Pesukim in Yecheskel. There was some, a Kohen is not permitted to be Makar of Karbonis in the Bais HaMikdash until he first brings what's called a Minchas Chinuch. Kohen Gadol has to bring a Minchas Chinuch every day. Machtzisa Babak, Machtzisa Bein Abayim, Minchas Chavitin. But the Kohen Hedyot only brings the first time in his life that he wants to bring Karbonis, he has to bring a Minchas Chinuch. Let's say he pauses for 70 years. When he was Bar Mitzvah, Lechveis, when he was Bar Mitzvah, he brought a couple of Karbonis, then he went to business. And he never did anything. And then 7 years later, he wants to bring Korbanos Gan. Does he need another Minchas Chinuch? No. He brought a Minchas Chinuch already. So what's the din if there were Kohanim who brought Minchas Chinuch in the Bais Rishon? And then there was no Bais HaMikdash for 70 years. And now they build the second Bais HaMikdash, they want to bring Korbanos. So the Rishonim say on the Gemara, when Rav Kook passed away, when Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook passed away, so the Harry Fishel, Machon Harry Fishel in Yerushalayim put out a volume, a Likud of Rishonim from Kisveyad, Amaseches Maikot. And they did it because the Perek about Davelus, but they did the whole Masechta. So one of the Rishonim, I think Rabbi Chilmi Paris, if I'm not mistaken, comments on that Gemara. That the Gemara is commenting on the Pasuk in Yecheskel that when the Kohen comes to the Beis HaMikdash, he has to bring a Minchas Chinuch. What it means is even the Kohanim were 85 years old and they brought Karbonis and they brought him a Minchas Chinuch. And the Bais Rishon, the Bais Sheni is not a Hemshech of the Bais Rishon. Bais Sheni is a new parsha. But if there'll be someone who's still alive, probably in Pasuk, someone still alive when the Bais HaShlishi will be built, who brought already a Minchas Chinuch and the Bais Sheni, a pause of 2,000 years, he wouldn't have to bring another Minchas Chinuch. Because the Bais HaShlishi is considered a Hemshech of the Bais HaSheni. That's how Rav Soloveitchik suggested the Pshat in the Haftarah of Shabbos Chanukah. When the Novi is shown the vision of the Shnayim Zesim, the two olive trees, and the olives are falling down automatically. And then there's a machine, contraption, that squeezes out the olive oil. Everything happens by itself. Then there's a big pool, Gula al Roshad, there's a big pool of olive oil on top of this golden, beautiful menorah. And there are 49 streams of oil flowing into the menorah. There's 7 cups on top of the menorah. And 7 streams of oil flowing into each one of the 7 cups. That's the 49 streams. So this represents a golden era of Beis HaMikdash. Who are the Shnayim Zesim? Who are the two olive trees? So the Navi says in the next parak, that already, that part is not in the Haftarah of Shabbos Chanukah. That's 20 lines later in the Nevuah, in the Sefer Zechariah, that the Shnei B'nei HaYitzahom Dim Lefnei Hashem. The two olive trees represent the two olive men. Who are the olive oil men? The Kohen Gadol is supposed to have Mashiach B'Shem and Mishchas Kodesh, and the Melech from the Malchus Beis David. In the Bais Sheni, there were no Melechim from Malchus Beis David, so they never had Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. They used to do Mashiach B'Shem and Afarsimon, imitation. Parsimony oil is an imitation of the Shem and Amishcha, but when you have real Malchus Beis David, Lasi Lavet, that's called the Melech HaMashiach, because he's going to need Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. That's a question. When you have a Melech ben Melech, he doesn't need Meshicha b'shem Ram Yishcha. His father had Meshicha, so that's a little unclear. That's what this is what I'm talking about. When the Melech HaMashiach will come, will he need Meshicha b'shem Ram Yishcha? Or do you say, no, he's a Melech ben Melech. His father and his grandfather for many generations have not functioned as Melochim. The last Melech on the Melech of Bizdod was probably Tzidkio HaMelech. Ain't it Tzidkio either, when they blinded him. That was the end of the period of the Malchus Beis Dov, the end of the Bais Rishon period. So the Melech HaMashiach will be yarshining the Malchus from Tzidkio, and many generations there was no Melech from the Malchus Beis Dov. So that's a suffix that the recent Sfarim have. Is that called the Melech Ben Melech when there's no Machlekes? So you don't need Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. And we call him the Melech HaMashiach because, in principle, Malchus Beis Dov used Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. No. Since for so many generations, for 3,000 years, there hasn't been any functioning melech on the Malchus Beis David, so Melech HaMashiach will need Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. So Al Kol Ponim, the Navi explains what the Nevuah was. The two olive trees represent Shnei B'nei HaYitzah, Omdim L'fnei HaShem, the Malchus Beis David who are praying for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they want to return. And they're not going to return until the Melech HaMashiach. The old Tkufas B'Sheni, it didn't happen. And the other Shnei b'nei ha'yitzah, the other olive oil main is the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is supposed to have Meshicha b'shem and HaMishcha. And the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim, Yoshio HaMelech, the end of the Bais Rishon period, was going as the Luchos and was going as the Shem and HaMishcha. Going as the Tzinsenes HaMelech also. So it was going as the Shem and HaMishcha. There were no Kohanim Gedolim in Bais Sheni who had Meshicha b'shem and HaMishcha. They all became Kohanim Gedolim through a Merubah B'gadim. There was no Shem and HaMishcha in Bais Sheni. It was still Beganiza. So that's what the Navi Zechariah says. This doesn't correspond to reality. And it describes the way the olives fall down by themselves and get squeezed out by itself. It's like everything goes with Gishmir, everything happens by itself. Golden Menorah represents a golden era of peace and serenity in the Bais Sheni. Bais Sheni was full of machlekes from day number one. The Tzdukim were running the show for many years until the Chachamim kicked them out. Every time they kicked out the Tzdukim and they straightened out the Akrovus HaKomar, and they made another Yontif. So how does this correspond to the Bais Sheni? That's what the Navi tells the Malach HaDoiver, be Mohena, Mohela Adoni. What does it correspond to? So the Malach tells the Navi Zechariah, Haloy Adaita, you know what it is. What is he arguing back and forth? He does know, he doesn't know. So that's what they say, B'Shem Rab Chaim. He said, I know what it's supposed to represent. Kuna G'dayla Malchus Beis Dov, but it doesn't correspond to reality. The Bais Sheni, there isn't going to be any Malach on the Malchus Beis Dov. There aren't going to be any Kohanim Meshuchim Meshem and Mishchas HaKadosh. It's not going to be a golden era of Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be full of Machlekes from the beginning to the end. So then the Malach answers to him, no, this is a vision. Lo b'chav, lo b'chav, ki beruchi. So what's the answer? So that's famous B'Shem Rab Chaim, the Pshat, that the Malach told the Navi Zechariah, the vision that I'm showing you is a representation of the Bais HaShlishi. So what has it got to do with now? We're holding now by the Bais HaSheni? So no, the Bais HaSheni is a Haskola for the Bais HaShlishi. Unlike the Bais Rishon, that the Bais HaSheni was not a Hemshech, the Bais HaShlishi will be a Hemshech of the Bais HaSheni. And this golden era of Malchus Beis David and Kuna G'dayla and everything happens, a golden era and everything, this is a vision of the Bais HaShlishi. That's why he's showing it to him now. And then the Pasuk says, after the whole vision, V'hotzi Yisro Eben HaRosho. What does it mean, V'hotzi Yisro Eben HaRosho? So the Pasuk Pshat is that they laid the cornerstone for the foundation of the building in the Bais HaSheni. That's the Pasuk Pshat. So Leitchik thought that based on Rab Chaim's interpretation, maybe it means more than that. Maybe it means the whole building or the whole construction of the Bais HaSheni was a cornerstone for the Bais HaShlishi. The whole second Bais HaMikdash was an Eben HaRosho for the Bais HaShlishi. So Rab Chaim interpreted that concluding pasuk in the Haftorah of Neves de Zechariah on Shabbos Chanukah. Lo b'chal v'lo b'chal kim beruchi yomar Hashem tzvokas. What does it mean? So he interpreted it based on the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBchira. The Rambam says when Yeshua ben Nun conquered Eretz Yisrael, so the Mekadesh of Eretz Yisrael was the Kibush. So then the Rambam says at the time of Churban Bais Rishon, when the Babylonian armies conquered Eretz Yisrael away from the Jewish people, since the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael rested on the Kibush and the Kibush was undone, so the Kedusha vanished into thin air. So the Navi is telling, the Malach is telling the Navi, Lo b'chai v'lo b'choach. What the Rambam writes, that the Kedusha Shnia, when the Jews came back from Golus Bavel, they were Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time around, it wasn't based on Kibush, and therefore, Hashem wanted the Hashuas Hashchina in Eretz Yisrael. So that can't be undone. If the Kedusha is Eretz Yisrael rests on Kibush, so if the Goyim are going to be covered away from us, so the Kedusha Rishayna will disappear into thin air. It'll vanish. And that's why for 70 years of Golus Bavel, Eretz Yisrael didn't have Kedusha. But when they were Mekadosh it the second time around, they weren't Kovish it. There was no Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael till the days of the Chashmonaim. A few hundred years, there was no Jewish government. So there was no Kibush. So what was the Mekadosh Beruchi? So the Mele, Kedusha Shnia Loi Batla. That's what the Rambam says, La'alach. That's the explanation the Rambam gives. Why Kedusha Rishayna was Batla and Kedusha Shnia was Loi Batla. Reb Chaim thought that that's what the Haftarah means. That I'm showing you a vision, the Malach tells Zechariah Novi, I'm showing you a vision of the Bayis HaShlishi. I'm not showing a vision of the Bayis HaSheni. How is he giving Zechariah Chizuk? All the old timers were crying when they built the second Mishnah. The Pesukim say they were crying. How does this compare to the Bayis Rishon? So the Novi tells him, don't worry, this is going to be the Haskalah for the Bayis HaShlishi. Yeah, there must have been.
They can't be.
Who's going to be Mafkia? When the Kedusha rests on Kibush, the Rambam writes, at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, there was a big machlokes whether the Kedusha Tzoretz was Batla. The accepted opinion is that for the 7 years of Golus Bavel, there was no Kedusha. But if the Kedusha, why? Because the Kedusha was based on Kibush, and the Kibush was undone by a more powerful Kibush. So if the Kedusha rests on Kibush, it's undone. But the Kedusha Shnei didn't rest on Kibush, it was never undone. So the Kedusha Shnei was Kitcha Lo Se Lovai.
I'm sorry. When you said that, bring the people chatting from Pesach now, I didn't have you talk about
Yeah, the Mishnah says whenever you build a new mizbech, you have to be mechanechet b'tomen shel shachar. Yeah, tomen shel shachar, you got to collect machzat shekel money. You can't just get a big donation to bring in tomen shel shachar. That's a question. The Orthodox Jews are not more than 50%. Every year they didn't get everybody to give a machzat shekel money. There were always people who never gave. But you have to have a reba tzibur participating. So now you're going to have only the Orthodox Jews and then from the Orthodox Jews. The misers are not going to, the millionaires are not going to want to give money. Only the poor Jews will be willing to give the machzat shekel money. So that was a big issue. Does that make sense? That's Rabbi Kiveger raised the possibility. Does that make sense that you should be able to be makariv karbonis bizman hazeh? We're all tameim. So if it's a karbon shel zman kavur, you bring betuma. But which karbon are you going to bring? So to me, the mumasof, you got to have machzat shekel money. Rabbi Kiveger already lived at the beginning of the reform movement. So he says, what do you mean? What machzat shekel? Just 10% of the population is going to participate. Machzat shekel, that's called a korban tzibur. It's questionable. Korban Pesach, you don't need machzat shekel money. People buy from their own karbon, with their own cash.
So without that, so that's a new mizbech. No one would say, can buy
generation. No, every time you make a new mizbech in the same Beis HaMikdash, you got to be mechanech again. So that's an issue. That's what the Chidor raises that issue in the Birkei Yosef in Hilchos Erev Pesach. He raises that. How can the Balei HaTosfos who came to Eretz, how can they have had a Hava Mina to bring a Korban Pesach, let's say Rabbi Chilmi Paris and a group of Balei HaTosfos were considering the possibility of bringing Korban Pesach when they went to Eretz? How can they do that? Em Chachan as HaMizbech Ele B'Tomash Shel Shachar. Tomash Shel Shachar, you have to have Machzat Shekel money. It's not Shach to raise Machzat Shekel money. That's an issue. So that's the famous comment of the Tosfot of HaMishnayos Demai, that he showed from the Pasuk, Lev Yoladeh Achronim, Esrach V'Yoladeh Achronim, that the word Achron doesn't always mean last. So to Godly Akvod HaBayis HaZeh Achim and Arishon doesn't mean that the second Beis HaMikdash was the last, latter, the latter Beis HaMikdash. Ramat Tzisor Strashon says, no, Achron means the last. It's to be read, HaBayis HaZeh Hyphen HaAchron, this second, third Beis HaMikdash will outshine the glory of the first Beis HaMikdash. Really referring to the third, not really referring to the second. Rav Shmuel in the beginning of Abbasah, they're trying to read the pasuk as if it's only referring to the second. Lefi pshuta shel mikra. But the Zohar says the real kavana of the pasuk meant that it's habayis hazeh ha'achron, the second third hyphenated Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara in Bava Basso Dav Gimel quotes a machlokes Rav Shmuel. How do you understand that pasuk? Godli yakvod abayis hazeh ha'achron min arishon. The pasuk in Chagai. Where, in what way was the second Beis HaMikdash more glorious than the first? So one Amora says it was taller, and one Amora says that it lasted longer. So the Rav Matis Yosh Tashon on that Gemara says that's the Gemara trying to interpret the pasuk lefi pshuto. But the Zohar says that the pasuk is really alluding to the third Beis HaMikdash. This second, third Beis HaMikdash will outshine the glory of the Mishkan. It'll be more glorious than the Mishkan.
How did Ezra collect the composition? Did he have
robe
of the Jews there?
That's a question. The Rambam writes that when you collect Machzor Shekel, the Jews all over the world have to give, even the Jews who live in Chutz Lartz. I don't think everybody agrees to that. That's questionable. There's a Tosis in the beginning of Psochem where Tosis says, kind of how come he didn't go Oyle Regal? Why didn't he go to participate in Korb Pesach? Tosis says maybe he was an old man, he was sick, maybe he wasn't healthy, he wasn't up to it. And then Tosis has another suggestion, maybe he lived in Nitzivan, the Gemara says, maybe Nitzivan is Chutz Lartz. There's another Nitzivan that is Eretz Yisrael, maybe there are two Nitzivan, maybe this Nitzivan was Chutz Lartz. And only the Jews from Eretz Yisrael are obligated to participate in Korban Pesach. So on the side of the Gemara, they have written, look at a Mishnah Melech, he says that the words of the Tosafot don't make sense from the beginning to the end. Nothing makes any sense. Where did they get this idea from? That the Jews in Chutz Lartz are not Mechuyiv. The Gemara says that the Tosafta said the Jews always came from Chutz Lartz to participate in Korban Pesach. They're allowed to. Tosafot claims they're not Mechuyiv to. Where did they get the Ein Fall they're not Mechuyiv to? So the latest Svarim write, after the Mishlam Malach asked this kasha, and they printed it on the side of the Gemara, where they get it from? So the latest Svarim write, probably because the Gemara in Yuma considers Korban Pesach as a Korban Tzibur, even though it's not purchased with Machzor Shekel money, why is it considered a Korban Tzibur? Because Osei B'chinufya, everybody brings it together. The whole Klal Yisrael bring on one afternoon. Everybody makes a shutfus and everybody brings it together. It has a status, not just has the din of a Korban Shezban HaKavua, as a din of a Korban Tzibur, when it gets a certain dinim. So maybe that's what the Tosafos held. Maybe whenever there's a din of Tzibur, it only applies to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. If they'll come from Chutz Lartz, so they'll be in Eretz Yisrael, but they're not mechuyev to come. So if you take that the one step further, it could be that the Jews who live in Chutz Lartz are not mechuyev to participate in the Machzor Shekel funding. The Ravid writes, and Hilchos Shkolim, and the Rambam quotes all the dinim, so the Psukim say, and say for Ezra, that they gave Darkona Shel Zohov, they gave very big coins, Darkona Shel Zohov for the purpose of Machzor Shekel. So the Rambam gives a whole suggestion, why they give Darkona Shel Zohov? Why such large coins? So the Rambam has a suggestion. The Rabbi is not happy with the Rambam's suggestion, so the Rabbi gives a different shot. He says, every year the Bez Nagodl has to establish how much each person has to give for the purpose of Machzor Shekel. So they have to figure out whether this year is going to have 12 months or 13 months. What's going to be the price of the animal? Price may go up, price may go down. They have to guess. Then they have to figure out how many Jews do they think are going to pay the money on time. It doesn't help if someone's going to pay the money. That another pushkin that Beis HaMikdash that was labeled Taklan Atikin, Shkolim Yishonim. Whoever didn't pay Machzor Shekel for 25 years ago can make up now. But we need the Taklan Charetin. You need Shkolim Chadoshim for this year to buy the Karbanos Sibur. So the Torah says, how many people can they rely on? What percentage? You have to ask the fundraising experts. What percentage of the population do you think are going to pay the money on time that you'll have? It's never going to be less than Machzor Shekel. Even if you have billions of Jews and each person's going to give a Machzor Shekel, you have 20 times as much as you need. That's the halacha. Never give less than Machzor Shekel. But if you need more, you got to give more. So the Ravid writes, he couldn't rely on the people in Chutz Lartz. Nobody from Chutz Lartz wanted to participate in the Beis HaMikdash, so they're not going to give Machzor Shekel. And you just had a small handful of Jews, 45,000 Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael. So everybody had to give Darkona Shel Zohov, they had to give so much money. And 20 years later, if there'll be a bigger Jewish population in Eretz Yisrael, so they won't have to give so much, they'll give less. But the Rebbe writes like that also, that you couldn't rely on the Jews and Chutzlots to give the Machzor Shekel. Maybe it means that they're not mechuyev to give. The Rambam says they are mechuyev to give. The Rambam says you are mechuyev to give. He raises the issue. Is it? I don't think he goes into the details. It just raised the issue. You have so many Reform Jews, non-observant Jews. They're not happy with the whole institution of Korbanos. So the only Jews who are going to give to the Machzor Shekel are going to be the Orthodox. Is that called the Korban Tzibur?
The Rebbe would have to say that, because otherwise the Rebbe said that B'nai Chutzlaretz did not give Machzor Shekel on Bayashin, unless a majority of Chutzlaretz did Chutzlaretz.
Mm-hmm. Okay, could be. Could be. I think even the majority in Eretz Yisrael are chilonim. Majority in Eretz Yisrael are not interested in any korbanos. Unfortunately, Rashi quotes from the Medrash that Yaakov Avin hisken atzman legimel dvarim. He prepared himself for the three different things: the doron uletfilo ulamelchama. This is always a din that a person has to do his hishtatlus. The single people have to, you can't think you're going to sit in base marriage and the girl's going to fly in from heaven. You got to call a girl up and make a date and take her out and propose. And then there's what to discuss. You have to do a hishtadlus. So Yaakov Avinu did hishtadlus to Doron. He gave a matana. He chamfened his brother Esav. And lemelchama, he prepared himself for melchama. That's the hishtadlus. And then letfilah. You always have to have tefillah. The Gemara says in the end of Nida, what should a person do to get rich? So Gemara gives recommendations where you should invest your money. Then Gemara says you should offer a tefillah. What should a married person, what should he do to have healthy children? So Gemara gives recommendations, medical recommendations. Then Gemara says you should offer a tefillah. You always have to do a shtatlos as if there's no hashgacha pratis, and then you have to offer a tefillah that there is hashgacha pratis. There's no contradiction between the two. The abchoivis is shtatlos. And then you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in full control of everything. You mentioned many times, the Gemara says when you do Bika Cholim, the Ramban is quoted by the Ramban Shulchan Aruch, if you don't offer a tefillah, so you're not Yotzei the Bika Cholim, because you didn't do the maximum in your power to help the Cholim get better. You always have to offer a tefillah. It's a pella, that's why Rashi quotes in the Medrash that Yosef has punished, Yosef HaTzadik was punished that he had to stay in prison another 2 years because he asked the Sarah Mashkim that Kim Zachartani, he should remember him. So what's so bad about that? You're supposed to do an Ishtadlus. Just say Tilim, you don't do any Ishtadlus at all. You're supposed to do Ishtadlus and then offer a tefillah as well. So what was wrong with what Yosef did? So that's a big problem. Different suggestions are given. The Reis HaLevi has a famous suggestion that what was wrong with Yosef is how much ishtadlus you have to have depends on how high a level of bitochen you are on. If a person is on a higher level of bitochen, he's only mechiv to do much less ishtadlus. A person on a lower level of bitochen, he's mechiv to do more ishtadlus. So the pasuk says, "Baruch Hagev Asher Sam Hashem Eftachai." Blessed is the person who has a lot of bitochen. So the Medrash says that refers to Yosef, but the Medrash says he was punished because he did not have bitochen. Why he asked the Sar Mashkin? So how does the pasuk praise him? "Baruch Hagev Asher Sam Hashem Eftachai." Lofanu Al Rahavim Vesatei Chazov. That's the end of the pasuk. So the Beis Halevi explains, "No, Yosef Atzadik was on a high level of bitochen. So for him, he shouldn't have done this hishtadlus. If it had been you and me." So we would have been mechuyev to do that ishtadlus, but the one who's on closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on a higher level of bitochen, should not do that much ishtadlus. And the Chazon Ish has a different suggestion. He says that you're mechuyev to do ishtadlus, but not to do ridiculous things. Let's say a person is not well, and he goes to all the doctors, and nothing is working. So then he's going to fly to the African jungle and to see some magic doctors there. That's called ishtadlus. That's tipshus. That's not ishtadlus. That's mamish grasping at a straw. You show you're at your end, at your wit's end, and mamish yush. So the guy's going to go do something that's so ridiculous. So that's what the Chazon Ish claims. The pasuk ends off. He should have known that the Mitzrayim are absolutely not reliable whatsoever. If he asked the Saramashkin Kim Sartani, you should remember me, get me out of prison. That was a ridiculous form of ishtatlus. That's mamish grasping at a straw, and that no one should have done. Not just Yosef on his level of bitachon. No one should do such a ridiculous ishtatlus. Because the Medrash comments on the beginning of the pasuk, Baruch Hagev Hashem Hashem Eftach Hazeh Yosef. Adarabba, you're condemning Yosef. You say he stayed, he was punished, had to stay in prison another 2 years because he did the Hishtadlus. So how does the pasuk praise him? So he says, no, on his Madrega, Baruch Hagev Hashem Hashem Eftach Yosef at such a high level of Bitochen, so he shouldn't have done this Hishtadlus. Another person would have been Mechayv to do this Hishtadlus. Anyway, but that's what Yaakov Avinu did over here. He did his ishtadlus. The ishtadlus was the doron and the preparing for the melchama and the chanifa. The Gemara says a whole sugya masecha saita on the first pair, chanifa near the end of the saita. Also lahachne for shoyim. When you have a rasha who's a balavera, and you pat him on the back and you say he gives a donation to the yeshiva and you praise him. So you're implying, keep on living your style the way you live, and he gives a little charity, he gives $10,000 a year, that's the whole charity that he gives, and we pat him on the back, and we make him the guest of honor in the annual dinner of the yeshiva, we say, wonderful, he's going to go straight to Olam Haba, he's going to go straight to Gan Eden. Whatever averus he does will be wiped away because of the $5,000-$10,000 that he gives to the yeshiva. He makes $1 billion every year, he gives $10,000 to the yeshiva. So that's, in a certain sense, that's a violation of Lifnei Velasita Michshol. He chose his own style of living. I didn't set it up for him. But by my patting him on the back and my giving him a big yashikach, a big mechabedim as the guest of honor, I'm implying to him that your style of living is fine. And he's going to continue like that. So the Gemara says that's a terrible aver. To be machnem for shoyim is a terrible aver. To accept donations, that is permissible. But if you're going to build them up and make them a guest of honor, that's a big. That's a big question. You put his name on a building, so you're implying that he's a wonderful person. So that is an issue of Hanif al Rishon. It is an issue. And then the Gemara said, the Gemara at the end of a whole sugya, saying how terrible and terrible it is to be machne for Rishonim. That's a chelik of the avera of lifnei velasita michshol. The Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu is comforting Esav, Adoni Esav, Abducha Yankiv. He said, "Muta lahach nefreshoyim ba'olam hazeh." So when is it aser? L'olam haba. He just said it's aser to comfort the rishon. So how can you come to the conclusion, "Muta lahach nefreshoyim ba'olam hazeh"? So that's what Tosfos comments on that Gemara. How does the maskana correspond with the rest of the sugya? So Tosfos says what it means is, Boilam Azef, there's a situation of Safek Sakana. Yaakov Avinu was afraid his brother wanted to kill him. 25 years ago, the brother wanted to kill him. That's why he had to run away. He was afraid he may still want to kill him. So he felt if he's going to butter him up a little bit, he stands a better chance of surviving. So if there's a Safek Sakana, so you're allowed to violate, but it was a violation. Mutal Lahachven Hashoim Boilam Azef means that because Nefesh is Deicha Hanifa too. You shouldn't think that the Issa Hanifa is so chomer that even Pekuach Nefesh is not matir. No, but Makam Pekuach Nefesh, we would be making. Last week, the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations gave a whole drosha. It was a fantastic talk. If you didn't hear it, you should listen. He gave Musa to all the Arab nations. They all walked out. Of course, there was nobody listening. They showed on the internet. They showed all the empty seats. But he arangizogt and tatnarang. So he was talking about the double standard that the whole world has. That's based on today's Sedrit. When all of the whole family is giving kavod and honor and glory to Esav, everybody's bowing down. Binyamin was the only one who didn't bow down because he wasn't born yet. So that's what the Medrash says. So that's why was Binyamin Zoicha that the Mokam HaMizbech was Bechalkel Shal Binyamin? So the Medrash gives two reasons. First of all, he was the only Israeli. All the others were born of Chutzlords. He was a Sabra. He was born in Eretz Israel. When he came back, And then the other explanation, because he didn't bow down to Esau, because he wasn't born yet. Of course, he didn't bow down to Esau. So the so when the Pasuk says everybody's bowing down, so the Dina is missing. So Rashi quotes in many, "V'dina heichan hoisa." Where's Dina? She's still here, because later on she was attacked by Shechem ben Chamor. See that she's around. So where was she? So Rashi quotes this famous medrash. Rashi made it famous that he put her in a box and he nailed the box, and he was punished because of that chinuch. So that's interesting. The different types of different parents give different chinuch to their children. So some of the Lubavitcher and Satmar are there mechanech their children. Like I know Lubavitcher. So I know Lubavitcher woman my age. She, the only siddur that's orthodox is Tilas Hashem, Chabad. She thought Tikkun Meir, or whatever we call whatever he should, she thought that's all reform and conservative. She didn't know till she was 60 years old that that there is another orthodox siddur that's acceptable. She thought the only orthodox siddur you can daven from is Tilas Hashem. That's why she was brought up, and the Satmar, a lot of them bring up their children, the only thing is our way, and everything else is reform, everything else. There are people who raise their children, the goyim have nothing to offer, the goyim are stupid, and there's no chokhmah. And then, so some of the children later on grow up, and then they start reading in the newspaper and the magazines, and they see that the goyim may have a whole big world over here. They have computers, and they have scientists, and they have, and they, a lot of them will reject the whole chinuch that they were given by the parents. They were given such a closed education. They were so closeted in their education. And then they see the parents told them sheker. That is not true. And other parents give an open education to their children. They say, look at the world, see what's going on. The goyim are smart. They have chachma b'goyim tamen, but Torah b'goyim loy tamen. They don't have morality, and they don't have justice. And the Torah tells us the right thing to do. So everyone has to figure out to give such a closed chinuch to your children is very risky, because the child can grow up and see that it's just not so, that there are other Orthodox Jews. Not just Lubavitch is Orthodox, not just Satmar is Orthodox. There are other Orthodox Jews also follow the Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't have to be Dafke this way. So that's what the Mesillas Yesharim has a line. He talks about the different Midas. So he talks about Zahirus. Zahirus and Zvizus and so on, all the different Midas. So he says, Umina Zahirus, part of the obligation of Zahirus is Shalala Hizahir Yosemidai, not to be overcautious. Sometimes a person is overcautious, and it's going to be counterproductive. It'll lead to the opposite conclusion. So that's what happened over here. Yaakov Avinu wanted to seclude his daughter Dina, and he puts her in a box, and he nails the box, and then she's the one who's raped by Tetzi Dina Bas Yaakov. When they came to Eretz Yisrael, she starts walking around free, and then she fell in with the goy. Sometimes if you're overcautious, it'll have the opposite effect. We have to figure out exactly how to be mechanech our children. The parsha says that Yaakov Avinu was schlepping all these packages all by himself. He had all these older children. Nobody helped him. Aloy dovahu. Adino kibudav. So because nobody was there with him, vayivasi Yaakov levado, the children are not helping him, vayivasi gishimoy, and the Medrash says that it was Sora Shalesev, the Malach of Esav, fought with him. He broke his hip. What is that all about? They don't eat Gidon Asher. Why is Al Kain? What is the connection? We don't eat Gidon Asher because of this story. So some of the Mefarshim say Al Kain, the Bnei Yankov accepted upon themselves as a kapara, that they're not going to eat Gidon Asher because they felt that they had violated Kibbut Av. They should have helped the father schlep all the packages. They went to sleep. They went to sleep early, and they left the father in the middle of the night to carry all of the pachim ktanim, pachim gdolim, whatever it was. So that wasn't right. So as a kapara for their negligence, for their failure to fulfill Kibbut Av, they accepted upon themselves never to eat Gidon Asher. Usually we learn that that's not the pshat. Hakein lo yochem reisa means God said we're not allowed to eat Gidon Asher, not that Bnei Yaakov accepted upon themselves a kapara for their failure to fulfill Kibbut Av. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaim this prohibition? What are we supposed to remember? By not eating, by avoiding eating Gidon Asher, what's the moral, what's the ethical, moral, or religious principle that we're supposed to be deriving from this mitzvah? Okay, so we're supposed to remember this story with the Malach. What does that mean? So the Radak has a whole Arichas, the Radak has a Chumash also, not just on Nevi'im. So the Radak explains, and explains in his commentary on Navi also, that the Malachim usually represent Teva. And Klal Yisrael are Lamayla Menat Teva. The Umm Yisraelim tried to drown us, and they tried to burn us. They did. They burned so many Jews. Crematoria. They burned and they killed Nisan, and they never succeeded in wiping. They succeeded in killing many here, but they never succeeded in wiping out Klal Yisrael are Lamayla Menat Teva. So that's what it means. When Yankov fights with the Malach, we get a broken leg. They killed the six million Jews. The 6 million Jews are those that they kept records of. They killed more than 6 million Jews. And Stalin killed more than 6 million. Stalin killed more than Hitler did, just to stay in office, just to stay in power. But so we limp. We have a broken leg, but basically, who won the fight? So the Navi says, "Vayasa the Malach vayuchalo." The Haftarah says that Yaakov had a fight with the Malach, and Yaakov won the fight. What it means is that when Teva comes in conflict with the Klal Yisrael, so Klal Yisrael beats out the Teva. So Alkein Liyoch Bnei Yisrael's Giranasha. Our abstaining from eating Giranasha is to ingrain within us that the Yisoid and Amuna that Klal Yisrael is Lamayla Menat Teva. The whole world was created with Chukei HaTeva interconnected, and Klal Yisrael have a separate Bria. Amzu Yatzarti Tilosi Yisaper. It's a separate Bria for Klal Yisrael. So that's why we are Lamayla Menat Teva. That's what's usually assumed. Alkein Liyoch Bnei Yisrael is Giranasha. The Mishnah in Perek Giranasha, Perek Giranasha is a perek towards the end of Chulin. So the Mishnah has a machlokes satanim where the Giranasha is noig bebnei Yankov or not. So Tosfos learns the posh pshat in the machlokes is when was the mitzvah of Giranasha given? Was it given right away to bnei Yankov? Alkein liyachlo bnei Yisrael, as Giranasha means the children of Yankov Avinu, whose name was just changed now to Yisrael. Malach just changed Mashemecha v'yamei Yankov. The Yaakov Yamar Shimcha came Israel. So Alkein Liyoch Bnei Israel. At that time, they were commanded they're not allowed to eat Giranasha. Well, no, maybe the mitzvah of Giranasha was only given after Maimon Har Sinai. Bnei Israel means the children of Israel. It doesn't mean the children of Yaakov Avinu. At Har Sinai, the mitzvah of Giranasha was given, and the Chumash wrote it over here. We should know the historical background. What's supposed to represent? That's how Tosfos learns the Machlokes. The Rambam there. And the Pirush HaMishnayos does not learn like that, and the Mishnah Torah also, because the Rama quotes the Medrash Rabbah that there were seven mitzvahs, there were six mitzvahs given to Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon had to be a vegetarian, so he wasn't given the din of Eved Nachai because he wasn't allowed to eat flesh bichlal. Then after the Mabul, when Kerek Esam decided to lechem eskol, when Noach was permitted to eat the meat, so he was given the prohibition of Eved Nachai. So that's why we call it the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Until the days of Noach, there were only six mitzvahs, the Rambam writes, and then the seventh mitzvah was given to Noach after the Mabul. And then the Rambam writes, the whole world was going on like this till the days of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah of Milo, and he instituted Shachris. Yitzchak Avinu was given the opportunity to be Mafrish Maisris, and he instituted the Tfilas Mincha. Yaakov Avinu was given the mitzvah of Giran Asha, and he instituted Tfilas Arvus. That's what the Rambam quotes from the Medrash. So the Rambam assumes that there's no machlokes on that. The Giranasha certainly was given to Yankov Ubonov at that time. So what is machlokes in the Mishnah, whether Libnei Yankov Nemro? So the Rambam has a different interpretation. The machlokes is, why do we today still have the obligation to observe the prohibition of Giranasha? Is that because it was given to Yankov Avinu, or no? And we assume no. Any mitzvah that was given to Avram, Yitzchak, Yankov, any Navi before or after Moshe Rabbeinu is only Hayro Ashur. By definition, the only Novi who was given dinim that a Noeg L'Doris was Moshe Rabbeinu. So we today observe Giranasha not because it was given to Yankov Avinu. Yankov Avinu was only Haro Ashur. The Rambam said the same by Bris Mila. We observe Bris Mila today not because it was given to Avram Avinu. We only given to Avram Avinu as a Haro Ashur. We observe Bris Mila today because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And the Rambam has a whole arichas on this in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Perek Giranasha.
It's only from after Har Sinai. So how come the Gemara
and
Darshan thinks from those
psukim
to learn out
then
about Mila?
The Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, everything we learn out from. Okay. A lot of the psukim, the way the Rambam understood, some of the psukim in Lech Lecha about Bris Mila were not told to Avram Avinu. They were added on later. because it says this is L'doris Olam. The Rambam says it wasn't told to Avraham Avinu L'doris Olam. It was only given to Avraham Avinu as a Hayra Ashur. L'doris Olam was given to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Where do we see that?
We don't see in Chumash. You don't see. The Rambam says the Tanoim understood on their own because of the concluding pasuk in Chumash VaYikra, the same concluding pasuk in the Chumash BaMidbar. That sounds like Elam kemat the same. Elam mitzvah chuki vaMishpatim haShatziv Hashem es Moshe vaHar Sinai. So the Gemara, the first half of Megillah, says from that pasuk, Ein Nov Hirshal LaChadish Dova Meyata. All the dinim had to be given to Moshe Rabbeinu. A Navi can give a Hayru Ashah before or after Moshe Rabbeinu can give Hayru Ashah. But a Din L'Dera said, Achokim HaMishpatim HaTaros is only mitzvah means, that's why Rashi quotes the beginning of Parashat Tzaveh, Ein Loshen Tzaveh, Loshen Zeruz, Miyadu L'Deras. The term mitzvah is a technical term that means that it's binding throughout all the future generations. So mitzvahs were only given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The other Nevi'im, by definition, were only given Hayru Ashah. That's the Rambam has the biggest side about that. The Gemara says that the Minatara, only the Gid Anasha is Osir. And the Shuman Agid, the fatty part that's touching the Gid Anasha, that is not Osir Minatara. The Gemara has a Lashon, it's Mutar Visol Kidoshim Noagu Bo Isir. And the holy Jewish people observe an Isir on it. So we usually assume that it's an Isir Dirabbanan. So the Keset Mishnah writes, Prima Gordon quotes from the Keset Mishnah, in Hilchos Korban Pesach, that it's not even Midirabban, it's only Yisrael Kedoshim, no Gabo Yisrael, it's only a minik. Because the Mishnah says is to answer the Ravitz Kasha and the Rama. The Rama in Hilchos Korban Pesach writes that when you broil the Korban Pesach, you're supposed to broil it Rosh al Kurov al Kirba, everything intact. You don't slice it into lamb chops and then broil each lamb chop separately. You broil the whole Korban Pesach together. And then you slice it up afterwards. L'chatchila, you should boil it all together. Rosh v'al krov v'al kirba, everything together. So the Rambam writes, but you have to cut a little bit. So you can't broil the Korban Pesach with the chalev. You have to cut out the chalev and put it on the mizbeach. Then he says the chutei dam. When you broil meat, so the blood that's in the capillaries will drip down. So that's not going to pose a problem. But if you have blood in the arteries, so you're broiling a piece of flesh, blood in the arteries, that's going to make a treif. The broiling, the salting and broiling will succeed in removing the blood in the capillaries, but it won't succeed in removing the blood from the big arteries, from the big veins and the big arteries. So the Rambam says, before you broil your Korban Pesach, you have to yank out the chutei dam, you have to yank out the chutei chelev, the chelev you burn on the mizbech, and then the chutei chelev you have to remove, it's asa. And then you broil the Korban Pesach, and then after you broil it, then you remove the gid anasha. So the Ravid writes on the Rambam, Ravid always has his sarcastic style, so the Ravid writes, if I would be there, and this man would bring the Korban Pesach, I would throw it on the floor and tell him not allowed to eat it. You broil the Korban Pesach with the gid anasha, the whole thing became treif. Not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. So the Keset Mishnah comes to defend the Rambam. So he says, that was a machlokes in the Gemara in Perek Yid Anasha, where the Yid Anasha, yesh begidin b'naisa tam, reid begidin b'naisa tam. If you broiled meat, or you cooked meat together with the Yid Anasha in it, they say tam ki ikar, that the Yid Anasha asses the rest of the meat or not. The accepted opinion, la halacha, is the ein begidin b'naisa tam. Yid Anasha does not asser. So the Rambam held, if the din would have been yesh begidin b'naisa tam, so you'd have to cut out the Yid Anasha, you had no choice. You would have to cut out the Gid Anasha before you broil the whole Korban Pesach. But since we pass in Halacha Ein Begidin Meraisa Tam, so it's preferable to broil the whole Korban Pesach intact in one piece to fulfill the din of Rosh Al Krov Al Kirboy, and then to cut out the Gid Anasha afterwards and no one should eat it. But the Keset Mishnah asks, but what's going to be with the Shuman Agid? Shuman Agid does asim. Shuman Agid is 2 days in Tosfos in Perek Yid Anasha. So 1 day in Tosfos is that since Shumer Agid is only Asim and the Rabbanon Otu Gid, and Gid Anasha ain't the Gid Merasim Tam, Gid doesn't Asim Etam Tam Ki Yikr, so the Shumer Agid doesn't Asim either. We don't accept that opinion. We paskin Shulchan Aruch. We paskin like the opinion that Shumer Agid does Asim, even though it's only Asa Otu Gid, and Gid itself doesn't Asim, the Shumer Agid does Asim. So that's a good Tekasha. The Rambam says that you boil the whole Korban Pesach the way it is, and then you cut out the Gid on Asha later, but the Shuman Agid will answer the whole thing. So the Kesem Mishnah comes to defend the Rambam. So he says, apparently the Rambam is of the opinion that whenever you have a conflict between a minig and a real din, you're not allowed to observe your minig. You have to observe the real din. So here, on the one hand, there's a real din. You have to broil the carbon pesach intact. Rosh al karov val kirboy. On the other hand, you have a minig that we don't eat shuman agit. But you can't observe a minig b'makam a real din. So you have to broil the whole carbon pesach. So all year long, they had a minig never to eat shuman agit. Once a year, all the Jews violated the minig. When they ate Karban Pesach, everybody ate Shuman Agid. Because in order to fulfill the real din of broiling altogether, so the Shuman Agid gave a tam and the rest of the Karban Pesach. The Shuman Agid, whatever would be left over after they broiled it, they wouldn't eat. Okay? But for the purpose of broiling everything together, they did it. And everybody ate Karban Pesach, was eating a little bit of an Asinas Tam of a Shuman Agid. See, this is Rav Gusman Zechon Levracha. Has his famous, he published all of his shiurim. So at the end of the volume on Kiddushin, he has a tshuva that everybody, a lot of people rely on. Sometimes a woman can't conceive because she waits Shivanakim. Shivanakim, Ekadin, the Araisa is only for a Zava. A Nida doesn't need Shivanakim. So we have a chumrah that we treat all the women as a Safik Nida, Safik Zava. So the question is, that chumrah is sometimes a Dinder Rabbanan. Sometimes it's only a minig. Gemara says, "Benoyis Yisrael echmir al atzman." Shafil arayz tipas dam kechad liyosh esol shivin akim. So that's a machlekes. Benoyis Yisrael echmir al atzman started off as a minig. Did it become a din de rabbanon? So that's a machlekes. And a shulchan aruch we paskin is still a minig. It didn't become a din de rabbanon. It's still only a minig. But sometimes the woman is treated like a safik zava mid de rabbanon. Sometimes it's only a minig. So in the event that it's only a minig. The doctor tells her she has such a short cycle that if she's going to observe Shibin Akim before she goes to mikveh, she won't be able to conceive. So then Rav Gusman said that in that case you can be mekel, that you don't have to wait Shibin Akim. Whenever a minute comes in conflict with the real din, you have to observe the real din. The Netziv has such a tshuva also. The Netziv interprets a Gemara in the first parak in Brochus. The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to the shul to see if the minyan is there, and if someone is in the habit, Mishiroga Lava LeBeis HaKnesset, someone is in the habit of coming to minyan, and one day he doesn't show up, so the Ribbono Shel Olam asks about him, how come he didn't show up? So if he didn't show up because he's going with Dvar Mitzvah, so then it's okay. And if he's going, he decided to make money today, he didn't show up in minyan because of Dvar Mishuz, then he's going to be punished. So what's the whole pshat in the Gemara? What if he's not rogalov beis haknesses? So the Netziv has a tshuva in the Meshev Dava. He interprets that, strictly speaking, there is no obligation to daven tefillah b'tzibur. You can daven b'yechidus also. But the whole idea of davening is that you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to listen to your prayers. You want a parnasa, you want a shidduch, you want children, you want refuah. Everybody has their needs. And we know that you stand a better chance of having a prayer answered if you daven mitzvah than if you daven mitzvah. So it's not that you're mechuyif to daven mitzvah, but it certainly will enhance the davening. So if a person is rogalov the beis haknesses, he is in the practice, he always daven tefillah b'tzibur. So minik toiv is binding, b'toris minik. So what happens if the minik toiv to daven tefillah b'tzibur comes in conflict with the real dvar mitzvah? He has to go do pidyon shvuim, he has to go learn Torah. He has to leave early in the morning in order to get a flight, in order to get a bus, in order to get a train to go to yeshiva. And then train station, he can't daven tefillah b'tzibur. So whenever the Dvar Mitzvah comes in conflict with the Minig Taif, so then you have to observe the Dvar Mitzvah and you have to ignore the Minig Taif. But if he's going to be mevater on a Minig Taif because of a Dvar Hashus, then he's going to be punished because the Minig Taif is binding. That's how the Netziv interprets. That's an issue all the time in Svir. A lot of people don't shave in Svir Saimer. They don't shave for Shabbos, and they look awful. They look like all fuzzy. So is that permissible? There's a din of Kvod Shabbos. You have to make hachanas in advance. If you look awful, you have to shave the Kvod Shabbos. You have to touch up your hair. So what do you mean? They have a meaning that they observe Avelis. You're allowed to observe Avelis to be in violation of Kvod Shabbos. That's very questionable. This happens a lot when a minig comes in conflict with a real din. There is a machlokes hatanoim where the gid anasha is also bahanor. The Rama Baskin's muta bahanor. But it's a difficult Rambam. The Rashba, in the Torah Sabbais, already quotes the Kasha against the Rambam. Based on the calculation given in the Gemara, the Psak should have been that it's Asbara. But the Rambam Paskins Giranash is Mutabana. So it's the Beis Yosef on Yerideya points out the problem, Machlag Satanaim, and the Rambam Paskins Mutabana, and it's a difficult Rambam. So the Beis Yosef recommends we should really be Machmir. And he says to Befrat that the Zohar says that Giranash is Asbana. So that's thrown in also. So the Bach has a Hasoga on the Beis Yosef. He said, what did he think he gained by quoting the Zohar? The Mishnah has a Machlag Zab Shimon. And the Chachamim, the Zohar is Reb Shimon. So he quotes another source and says, we know from the Gemara that Reb Shimon holds Giranash as Asabano, and he has been outvoted. So just because it appears as well in the Zohar, it's not Mechazik Reb Shimon Shita more. But that's a famous Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef says you should be Machmer to Asa the Giranash of Ano, Befrat, it's a difficult Rama, but Befrat that the Zohar says like that.
Back to what Rabbi said about the Kesef Mishnah and the Shuman of the Giranashe and the Korban Pesach, why is it only when it's a conflict between a minag and a real gid? What's the other option? It's a minag or it's a zera min derabanan, it's a real gid? Is that the issue?
He points out, Shloshin is Shumere Yed is Mutar Ben Ator, Vissol Kedoshim Nogabo Issa. It doesn't say about Umi derabanan Atsru. If it would have been Asim derabanan, you wouldn't be allowed to broil the Korban Pesach. So he won't fulfill the mitzvah b'shlemus of broiling the Korban Pesach completely intact. But because it's only a minig, so that's what he says, when the minig comes in conflict with the real din, so then you observe the real din, you don't observe the minig.
Couldn't
we say inch with the mikdash? Especially since it's sort of avodah, so the koyamah should be fine. Inch with the mikdash is an issue. Tosfos says we have a lot of shvusim in the Beis HaMikdash, and we don't know exactly when it does apply, when it doesn't apply. That is a good question. We don't know what the answer is. Tosfos says we don't know the answer. Part of the answer is only letzorach hakrovus hakabana, but this is letzorach hakrovus. Okay, it is an issue.
Do I actually
have muscle that minag is like the rabbanim tam neder? Yeah, but it's only made the rabbanim tam neder. Yeah, we don't treat it like a real din derabon. We treat a minig lower than a din derabon. In all the tshuvas of the Chasam Sefer, where he talks about, we always assume there's a dinder, right? It's a dinder, Rabban, minig is lower. There's one tshuva in the Chasam Sefer where the Chasam Sefer is attacking the Reform. So the Reform first started picking on Minhagim. So he says, Minhagim, that's more chomer than a dinder Rabbanon, because minig mitam neder, neder is a dinder raisa. And he says, Sofik the Rabbanon lakula, Sofik minig is lachumre. So that's a yoytzim in akal. That chuvas Chasam Sefer is difficult. It contradicts so many other chuvas of the Chasam Sefer. And punk b'mikra, the pischi tshuva, and yeridei hilchus nedarim, on the siman about minig, he quotes that Chasam Sefer. So that's a difficult passage. Some try to work on that. There was a Rabbi Gishtetna passed away a couple of years ago. And B'nai Brak, I think he was a descendant from the Chasam Sefer. So he published about this. He tried to fire him for the steer. How can the Chasam Sefer say that a Sofik Minig L'chumre and a Sofik Derabonon is L'kula? Minig Mitam Neder is only Midirabonon. It's Beferish. Minig Mitam Neder is not there, right? It's only Midirabonon. The Malach that Yankov Avinu was fighting with pleads with him, Shalchuni Ki Ola HaShachar. And therefore what? Shalchuni Ki Ola HaShachar. He has to go say Shira. That's why Rashi quotes from the Medrash. He has to go say Shira. So some interpret this to mean that the Malachim never say Shira Balailo. Shira Sa Malachim is only Bayom. That's why we only say Kedusha in the daytime. We don't say Kedusha at night. So many communities have the minig when you say Balatzion after the Shemona Esrei. So when the Chazan gets to B'koros El Zevi Amar, he say it out loud, and everybody answers the Kedusha. So the question is, what about Matzoi Shabbos, when you say V'hinoyim, Hata Kodesh? So they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon that on Matzoi Shabbos, when you say V'hinoyim, Hata Kodesh, you shouldn't say Kodosh, Kodosh out loud. Because you don't...
Right.
Because the Malachim don't say Shira Balayla, right. Malachim don't say Shia Balayla. In Boston, Rabbi Soloveitchik, years ago, wasn't aware of that. So he introduced that they should say, by Avodatzion, they should say Kedusha every day. Everyone should answer Avodatzion Kedusha. And then Amatoy Shabbos also. And then when someone showed him this in the name of the Vilna Gaon, so he discontinued that practice Amatoy Shabbos, because there's no Shiras HaMalacha Malayla. Yeah, it's not malachim.
Because we're doing it in Aramaic, that's what they don't understand.
So mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, but we're saying the Shira like the malachim. Malachim don't say balayla. So that's why they quote from the Gro that Amatzoy Shabbos, when you say Balatzin, you shouldn't, the Atta Kodesh, you shouldn't say like Kedusha. It says in the Pasuk that when Yaakov Avinu was coming back to Eretz Yisrael, Thomas devore menekes Rivka, but he gave me tachas lebeisel tachas alon, but he crushed mo alon bachus. Who was this person? Devore menekes Rivka. So the pasuk says that when Eliezer Eber Avron took Rivka for a shidduch for Yitzchak Avinu, so the mother and her brother sent her with menikto. They sent Rivka with menikto. Her menekes. The Ramban finds it hard to believe. Rashi quotes on the Medrash, who was Menekes Rivka? Rivka said, in the end of Parshas Vayetze, she told Yankov he should run away because his brother wants to kill him. In the end of Parshas told us. She told Yankov he should run away because Esau wants to kill him. And he said, "V'shalachti l'kachticha misham. I'll send you a messenger and you'll come back." So the Medrash says that she sent Devora Meinikto. What do you mean? She sent her Meinekes. She was an old lady. She was 95 years old. That's what it means. So the Ramban thinks it can't mean that. It probably means when Rivka had children, so she had a Meinekes for her babies. Not this was her Meinekes. When she was a baby, means when she had, miraculously, Rivka was an Akora, so she was. Sora was an Akora, but then everything came back. So she was able to nurse the baby on her own. She was nursing everybody else's babies. Even though she was an old lady, she was 90 years old, she was like a young girl, she could nurse the baby. But Rivka miraculously gave birth to a baby, but she wasn't able to be Menek. So the Ramban says this was Menekes Rivka, she was the Menekes of the children of Rivka, of Yankov the Yosef. But others assume, like the first pshat, that the Ramban didn't want to accept. That this Dvara Menekes Rivka, how did it happen that Rivka was brought up in the home of Avdi Avodah Zarah, and then she believed in monotheism, and she agreed to go with the Shidduch, to go marry Yitzchak, to become one of the Imoahs? How did that happen? So she must have had a Menekes who gave her a good chinuch. So this was her Menekes, this Tzadekes, this unsung hero. This Tzadekes Dvara was the one who educated Rivka about monotheism and about Yerushalayim and so on. And she was the one who was sent, Taka, an old lady, she was the one. So the Torah gives her honorable mention that it's because of her that we had the Tzadekes Rivka, who became one of the Imoahs. There are a lot of figures who were not given their Bekavdika place in history. A lot of tzaddikim were not mentioned in Tanakh. So this one was mentioned. The Dvara Menekes Rivka was mentioned in Tanakh. The pasuk has a very striking expression. HaKadosh Baruch appears to Yaakov Avinu b'nevuah. He says, "Goy kal goyim yiyah mimeka." What does that mean? You're going to have another two shvatim. Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. Shevet Echad Ikri Goy. So he says, but he only had one more child, and I had Binyamin, so that's how he understood that one of the shvatim is going to be split. And he understood that Yankov understood he has the right to split. He gave that blessing to Yosef. He split Yosef into Menashe and Ephraim. Ki Ruben Shimon Yuli, just like Ruben Shimon had two shvatim, so Menashe and Ephraim will be counted as two shvatim. So that's who he was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Goy Kal Goyim Yei Mimeka. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that the Havtocha that he gave to Avram and to Yitzchak is going to be fulfilled by you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Be Yitzchak Yikar Lecha Zerah." Be Yitzchak, will I call Yitzchak? So it was established now that it's going to be Yankiv and not Esav. So then it says, "Vayal Me'ol Avelakim." What do you mean, "Vayal Me'ol Avelakim"? He had Ashvas Hashchina, and then the Shechina left. So it sounds as if that's the Medrash has the expression, "Ha'ovas Hein Hein HaMerkov." Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankiv were unusual tzaddikim. They were the ovas, so they used to be like a Merkov to the Shechina. They always used to have Ashvas Hashchina on top of them. That's what the Ramban writes when the Bnei Yisrael went into the Golus. Sefer Shmos, it's a Sefer about the first Golus and the Gula therefrom. So he says, but the Gula doesn't come until after they returned back to Eretz Yisrael after Moshe Rabbeinu died. So how can I say that Sefer Shmos as about the Gula? The Gula is not until after Moshe Rabbeinu dies. That's the Israeli ambassador who gave that talk last week. The talk was wonderful. He just made one little mistake. He said that Moses led the Jewish people into Israel. Moses didn't lead. Had nothing to do with the rest of the talk. The rest of the talk, it wasn't Poigim and the rest. But that is Yeshua ben Nun. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't live so long. He didn't lead the Jewish people. Maybe that's why the Arabs walked down. Because he was misrepresenting what it says in the Chumash. So the Ramban says, how can you say that the end of Sefer Shmos is the Geula? The Geula doesn't cap until they come back to Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban says, no. Geula means the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. When you get to the end of Sefer Shmos, you have Shuma Tetzaba Vayakal Pigud, the Binyan HaMishkan, that is the Geula. You can live in Chutz Lortz and have Geula, and you can live in Eretz Yisrael, you won't have Geula. We live in Eretz Yisrael now, but we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is Geula. Ramban explains, why does he say it like that? So he says, true, the Jews went into Golus to Chutz Lortz. That's a tragedy, but the biggest tragedy of going into Chutz Lortz was that we were lacking Soda Laka Aleo Hale. In Kol Zman that we lived in Eretz Yisrael, we had Vayal Me'ol Avelakim, we had Ha'ovas Hein Amarkova, there was Ashuras Hashchina. When they left Eretz Yisrael, they went into Mitzrayim, so there was no longer any Ashuras Hashchina. When they built the Mishkan in Chutz Lortz, there was a Ashuras Hashchina. So that is the Geula. That's the definition of the Geula. Geula means, says Benisan Nigalu, Benisan Asin Muga, what do you mean Nisan Nigalu? So people think this Nigalu, it's Yes Mitzrayim, was in Nisan. So Ramban says no, Nisan Nigalu means Binyan HaMishkan. The Mishkan was completed, the Shivas Me'amiluim, the last 7 days in Ador. And then the first 12 days of Nisan, starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that's called the Geula. The Gemara of the Binyan of the Mishkan, Chanukas HaMishkan, that was the Geula. You have to know what is Geula in order to know what's Aschalta de Geula. Sometimes you have halachas that depend on Aschalta de Geula. Aschalta de Geula means something that's going to lead up to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. If Geula means Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Aschalta de Geula means what's going to lead up to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, it's a rich parsha. So this Shabbos has special Shabbos here in the Yeshiva. Everyone is invited to stay. And then whoever is going to be here is invited to come to Malava Malka. It's a Shabbos.